Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Colin Weatherwax. Colin, welcome to the show. Well, I guess I should be welcoming myself back.
But... Yeah, you're the one that missed last week, Justin.
Yeah. I listened, though, and if you think I'm taking responsibility for Mike's awful bets... You
I thought
are
it would work
insane.
Because I did not think you would listen. That's the one thing I guess I took into consideration.
No. I definitely listened, and I was thoroughly unimpressed by the idea that you guys thought I would allow Mike to pick for me, especially when I had a huge lead.
Well, I have my own doc going, so I'll just keep track of my own personal one. And right now I'm winning like 50 to nothing somehow.
Yeah,
it must
sure
just be like the Google spreadsheet I'm using. It just has a calculation in there.
We should do a little update, though, like because, you know, I wasn't on last week to do an update. So,
of course we should.
We should definitely do an update real quick. So going into week 3... I was up 4-1, and then I went 4-2 in week 3, so I am up 8-3.
All right, so that means I got to make 5 bets with you this week, so that way I can make it even.
Yeah, well, the history of this podcast has shown that you cannot do that. So I wish you luck, but why don't we go ahead and jump right in. And talk about the Thursday night game, because we're recording early on Thursday, early enough where we'll be able to get this out. Indianapolis Colts at the New England Patriots. I mean, I think the big thing to talk about is it's the return of Julian Edelman.
Is that the big thing, though?
Well, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Indy.
Okay.
I'm very excited to see Indy in this game because they're going to be without T.Y. Hilton. They're also going to be without Marlon Mack. So I think it's going to be the Nyheim Hines show. And I was able to pick him up last week, get his 2 touchdowns in a couple of my lineups. And surprisingly, he wasn't a high waiver claim for some of the leagues that I was in. I'm pretty high in the standings in 2 of them, and I was able to get him on a waiver claim where I was like last in
How's
order.
How's he still unowned is my question.
I know. It's really crazy. So if you did the no running back type draft, he's a great RB2. I mean, just the volume alone is going to get him – you know, RB2 production. And if he gets a touchdown or 2 like he did last week, he's going to be right there in the RB1 mix.
I don't know that I would say he's an RB1, but I definitely think he is an RB2 for sure. Like, it's I think he's locked down that passing role. And I think Wilkins is an interesting guy in standard formats. He's still like an RB3, RB4.
Yes, especially for this game, because game flow is probably going to be, they're going to be behind.
It's going to be a shootout.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of Hines. It's going to be probably a lot of Ebron, because there's not really any wide receivers out there. And then possibly the Ryan Grant coming out.
No, it's Chester Rogers.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, okay, when Hilton wasn't able to come on the field during that game against Houston, It was Rodgers that – well, Rodgers and Zach Pascal, though. I mean, honestly, I don't even know who Zach Pascal is.
Right.
You know, I watched the film this week, and I was like, what? Who the hell is that? I've never heard of you. But Rodgers is the one who got, like, the huge uptick. So,
all right, I'll do that bet. I'll do Grant versus Rodgers. Let's start off the podcast right.
Yeah, this is with a really ugly, awkward
yes
bet. So, all right,
that's our
Rogers
middle name here.
PPR or standard?
Doesn't matter.
All right, we'll do PPR.
All right, cool. So going back to your Edelman comment, I think they're probably going to ease him in. I don't see him, you know, completely taking over.
Do they have that option, though?
I mean, we haven't seen him for a year and a half, so it's not like he balled out last year and he's just going to come back in right in the mix. I mean,
yeah, but
the rest
of that team, you know, I don't want to say sucks, but like Josh Gordon's not up to speed apparently all the way. You know, Chris Hogan has been extremely disappointing. Do they really want to continue to count on Cordell Patterson and Philip Dorsett? I think Edelman is a wide receiver 2 or 3 from the gate.
Wow. Yeah, see, I think he takes over for Patterson's role, but just to start off. So he's eventually going to become what he has been as long as he's healthy. But they have a couple guys that have stepped up, and I think with Edelman being on the field, I think that's going to help out Chris Hogan.
I say that Edelman is a top 30 receiver in PPR leagues this week.
All right, I'll take it. I just don't think that this is the week. I think just maybe if he balled out last year, like I said, he might be able to get right back in the thick of things, but I think they're going to ease him in. There's no reason to have him play a full workload this week. They still have the guys that Brady trusts that he can throw the ball to without him. I mean, he showed that last year without Edelman all year. So I think Dorsett's going to still have a role. I think Gordon will probably just, you know, have a few snaps, a few plays drawn up for him throughout the game like he did last week. And Hogan and those running backs.
Do you have an update on Gronk's ankle?
He's expected to play. Okay. So, yeah, so I think the running backs, Gronk and Hogan, are probably going to be the mainstays for this week for me.
Where are you at on Sony Michel? I mean, got a ton of carries last week. 25 carries, 112 yards, Burkhead on the IR. Is he going to be the workhorse of this offense in terms of the running game?
I think so. Workhorse as in carries, I still think the snap percentages are going to be split between him and James White. Yeah. So let me look at it from last week. So Michel played 41% and James White played 49%. But we know that that's not basically a running back, quote unquote, carries. Mm-hmm. Or snaps, because James White is such a good receiver. So I still think the workload is going to be split up like that. But I think as far as the running back carries, it's going to be mostly Sony Michel, and you can fire him up as a surefire, you know, RB2 most weeks.
All right. Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. Okay. New England Patriots are hosting the Indianapolis Colts. The Patriots are 10.5-point favorites. Who you got?
I think I'm going to take the Colts in the points.
Oh, see, I'm taking the Patriots to cover.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they can cover that.
I think that defense looked a lot better last week in Miami.
The last double-digit, you know, spread did not do too well.
Yeah, that's true. But this is a different game. I think Patriots would be all right. I'm not willing to make a bet on it, but I think they'll be fine. Game of the week.
I was going to say, can we skip over this one?
Yeah, Tennessee Titans at the Buffalo Bills. What you got?
No one on the Bills, like I said, basically the whole season. Tennessee, it's becoming frustrating. I mean, there's really nobody outside of Corey Davis just because of volume that you're really thinking about starting. I mean, you can't start Deion Lewis. You can't start Derrick Henry. If you have to because of buys, I mean, it's Chicago and it's Tampa on buys this week. So you might have like a Jordan Howard with Deion Lewis and one of those guys. You might have to throw one of them in the flex, but I think that's your best option as a flex option.
Okay, so you're starting Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is a RB2.
Wow. I just haven't seen it this year. I can't just roll them out just based on the matchup and everything. I can't.
The matchup's great.
I know, but
they allow the most rushing yards and rushing touchdowns to opposing running backs. I mean, that's all the Titans are going to do is run up the middle.
Yeah, and he's going to get you 3 yards a carry, which is what he's gotten all year. He has
Derrick
zero
Henry
touchdowns.
Versus Deion Lewis.
Let's do it. Why not? We might as well just make this a season long bet, because I mean it's
well,
every
that's
week.
The thing. Like, you know, you said last week on the podcast that I always take Derrick Henry and you always take Deion Lewis. That's not true. In week two, I took Deion Lewis. I just always win the bet. Actually, week two and three, I took Deion.
I don't think I can take Derrick Henry the rest of the year. I just haven't seen it. He's a guy that needs the carries in order to get going, and they're just not giving him. I mean, they gave him 18 the first couple weeks, and last week he only had 8.
Yeah, but that was up against that Philadelphia run defense. And
that's true.
It's about matchups. They're going to play to the strength, but they are definitely going to try to run the ball. Well, you know, or use the running back. So, but they're going to play to the strength of their team against, you know, individual defenses. And this, while Buffalo does give up the most points per game fantasy wise to running backs, or pretty close to it. I think actually they're like third or fourth. They've actually been pretty good against receiving backs. So I believe they've only allowed one touchdown, I believe, against receiving touchdown to a running back so far this year, where they've allowed a ton of rushing yards and touchdowns to the running backs. So I think this is a Derrick Henry week. I think he's an RB2. I'm going to crush you again in the bed. We're like 10 minutes in. We've already got three bets.
We got three bets, right? On one of the most, you know, non-exciting games so far this week. Mm-hmm. Are you with me on Corey Davis, though? You got to fire him up just based off of volume?
I think so. Like, the Bills' defense has not allowed a ton of points through the air. That's mostly because they've allowed so much through the running game that teams don't have to throw. So I think if Davis is going to get his, he's going to have to get it early in the game. That being said, the Bills have also only suited up four cornerbacks throughout the entire season each week, which has really hurt them when guys get injured or guys retire at halftime. So I think especially with Rishard Matthews gone, I think the volume keeps him as a wide receiver too. But there is some risk. And I would not fire up Taiwan Taylor or Tajay Sharp, but I think both those guys need to be owned in the majority of formats.
Okay.
All right. The one thing I do want to say about the Bills, I know you said you can't start any of them, and Mike made the poor choice of making a bet on LeSean McCoy last week. Here's the one thing I will say. The Tennessee Titans have allowed the most receiving yards and touchdowns to running backs this season.
I don't think it matters, not in this game.
I think McCoy is startable as a low-end RB2 or flex play.
So you rip Mike for his bet, and you're thinking about making it this week?
I will say LeSean McCoy is a top 30 running back.
Oh, yeah, I'll take that.
Okay, there we go.
That's really bad. We got four bets.
I want to clarify that in PPR.
Okay, yeah, I'll still take it.
This is going to be a lot of bets.
We're gonna have a bet per game, or a bet per team. Actually, that's what it's on track for.
We've already got four bets through two games. All right, Buffalo Bills are hosting the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans are 3.5 point favorites on the road. Who you got?
Give me Tennessee.
Yeah, this is not going to be a great week for Buffalo.
I think Vegas is very scared of Buffalo now. Like, they're being very conservative with their lines.
Yeah, which, don't get me wrong, I get, but I mean, Josh Allen looks bad, like really, really bad. And it's not necessarily from like a raw skill standpoint. He just does not know how to play the quarterback position at the NFL level. You know, he does not know how to step up into the pocket. He doesn't know how to move around it. He gets antsy and takes off. I think he's going to be fine long term. But, I mean, he needs a quarterback coach to come in and really teach him how to play the position. And until he does that, they're going to struggle. All right, let's go ahead and move on, though. Talk about the Miami Dolphins at the Cincinnati Bengals. Miami was super disappointing last week. Cincinnati, that was a hell of a game.
Yes.
Versus Atlanta. So what do you got for me?
I love Andy Dalton. I love him this year. Just looking at his schedule, I mean, it's basically a cakewalk most of the year. He's going to have those crazy mistakes that he has in the past, but, I mean, with Tyler Boyd emerging, I know they lost Tyler Eifert, Gio Bernard getting more involved and still having A.J. Green. I still think he could be a borderline top 12 quarterback for the rest of the year.
I think he could be for the rest of the year. I don't necessarily like that this week, though.
I mean, it's probably hard to start him this week, but I think I'm still going to roll him out there. If you have a tough decision, I'd probably go with the guy that you're more comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But just the way he's looked so far this year, I wouldn't mind firing him up this week.
Yeah, I think Joe Mixon's back. I think The Dolphins have allowed the 10th most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. I think Cincinnati, while they can throw the ball, I don't think that's what they want to do. The defense gets better with Burflett coming back, so I think this is a much lower scoring game than the over-under would pretend it to be. I think Cincinnati is going to attempt to kind of ground and pound against Miami. And so, yeah, I do not think I would start Andy Dalton outside of a two quarterback league.
But are you still starting his weapons?
Yes.
Obviously AJ Green, but like Tyler Boyd, yes. You're still firing him up.
Tyler Boyd's legit.
Yeah.
Tyler Boyd is the Bengals version of Juju Smith-Schuster.
Wow. That's bold. I don't think I see it that much, but I am impressed with what I saw. I liked him coming out targets. Of a rookie. Yeah,
he doubled AJ Green's targets.
Wow.
Or almost doubled. AJ Green at 8.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then I just looked at the injury report. So Joe Mixon was limited, and actually Giovanni Bernard did not practice. So, yeah, I think it's going to be the Mixon or the Walton show. You never know.
Yeah, this will be the week. We don't have a Walton bet.
Right?
This will be the week.
No, I'm not doing that.
He's going off. So, Tyler Eifert, I don't think he's been put on IR, but he's out for the season after breaking his ankle. Do you care about any of these tight ends?
I mean, Tyler Croft did decent last year in his absence.
But Uzuma's been the one who has gotten more targets this year.
Yeah, I still think Tyler Croft would be better of the two, but it's not someone that I'm going out of my way to pick up. I know we kind of talked about it, you know, off air about the tight end landscape and just the guys that are available
ugly.
In most leagues.
It is ugly.
I mean, I'm starting Hayden Hurst in one league just because there's nobody else and he actually has a pulse and might see the field.
I was literally talking to you. So I play in this PPR league that we have 3 IR slots. So like, and one of the things I like to do on Thursdays is make sure I fill up my IR slot with guys who might be good stashes. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just drop my tight end because I had Austin Hooper. And I'll just, you know, I'll fill up my IR slots, you know, grab some guys to stash and stuff like that. And then I'll pick up a new tight end. And then I went to go look at the waiver wire after dropping Hooper and stashing a couple guys. And I was like, oh my God, there's no one to pick up. Like, this is a 12-team league or nobody is rostering more than one tight end. Like, and there's just nobody to pick up right
it's
now.
It's that bad.
So,
and I'm sure you had Will Dissly because you really liked him coming in.
Well, I had Evan Ingram, and then I replaced him with Will Dissly, who's now on IR after his career is pretty much over after tearing his patellar tendon. And for those who don't know, that's what ended Victor Cruz's career, was tearing that tendon, and I've done it as well. I don't know that I've seen anybody come back from it.
Jimmy Graham, right?
Did he? I don't think he had a patellar tendon tear.
Pretty sure it was.
Did he?
Yeah.
I could be wrong. It really destroys your mobility. So, all right. Anything else from this game we need to talk about? I guess we didn't talk about Miami.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Miami.
What are you doing with the running backs here? It's Kenyon Drake had 3 total carries versus the Patriots versus Coors 11. I don't. This is super frustrating. But do you think that was game script because the Dolphins fell behind so quickly, or they were trying to, you know, protect Drake in a blowout, or what's happening here?
Well, he had 4 touches against the Patriots, but in a competitive game versus the Raiders, he had 7 touches.
Yeah.
So this is a trend that I'm not liking. I think you still have to stash him just based off of what he did at the end of last year, where he was pretty much a solid RB2 the rest of the way. But this is very frustrating. If he's dropped, pick him up. Stash him, wait for the big game.
I think this could be the big game.
That's
the hard part. The Bengals are atrocious against the run.
But like you said, Burfict's coming back.
Yeah.
So I just don't – you can't fire him up after the past 2 weeks' performances. I don't think you're comfortable putting him in the flex. I'd probably be more comfortable putting like Albert Wilson in the flex over him.
I don't think I'd be comfortable putting Albert Wilson, but I think he's still a flex play for me. But it's super risky.
It's risky, yeah, very risky.
He's either gonna do nothing or he's gonna completely go off. And so, I mean, if you have someone, if you're looking for a lottery ticket and he's on your team, then I guess you throw him out there. If you're looking for someone safer, obviously go a different direction. The wide receivers here, like, I love how, like, anytime you read analysis on, like, the Miami game last week, it's like, well, Devontae Parker didn't play, so, like, that's why, like, they struggled. Devontae Parker sucks. Can we finally give up on this dude?
No one will.
It's ridiculous.
I think you can only start Kenny Stills, like, you know, comfortably. I just think he's the deep target. He's also the guy that gets most of the targets in the passing game. If you're desperate, which most people that, you know, are looking for a tight end are, if Gesicki's available, his snap percentages has improved the first 4 weeks. Like, every week it's gone up. So maybe he can get involved. Maybe he can get you a touchdown, which is what you're...
He's not been... Like, even with Parker out and them having to throw the ball, like, he had one catch. Like, that... Yeah. Like, that to me is super frustrating because I like Gesicki and I've got him in a couple leagues, including a dynasty league. But, like, I think he's a tight end 3 right now.
Yeah, but that one catch could be a touchdown, and he's probably a top 10 tight end if he
but
catches a touchdown.
They're not throwing to him in the red zone.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't yet, but like I said, his snap percentages has improved, so maybe they decide, okay, well, let's just throw it up to him once in the red zone and see what happens.
All right. Miami Dolphins at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are 6-point favorites at home.
I think the Bengals will cover.
I think the Bengals win, but they do not cover. All right, Baltimore Ravens at the Cleveland Browns. What you got?
Baker Mayfield. And Hayden Hurst, yeah. Let's start on the Browns side, though, okay. Because I think there's a lot of interesting things going on in Cleveland, which I haven't said, I don't think, ever.
How did they not win that game?
Because it's the Raiders. Raiders are
shut
dominant.
Up. It wasn't the Raiders. Like that pick at the end of regulation was atrocious.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. I'll take my wins when I can get them.
Win.
Baker Mayfield, he looked impressive. I think it's a tough test this week up against Baltimore. Tougher than the Raiders. I'll say that for sure. But he looks to get his guys involved. He looks to get Jarvis Landry involved. Callaway had a little, you know, a few decent catches last week. And then the running back rotation is very interesting. I think it kind of sucks for fantasy owners because on the one hand, Chubb had a, you know, great game, but he only had 3 touches. Mm-hmm. And Carlos Hyde still got the bulk of the carries
and also got
you a touchdown. So, what are you doing with the running backs? Are you still comfortable throwing Hyde out there?
Yeah, I mean, you're stashing Chubb and what you should be doing, I mean, unless you're in a keeper dynasty league, is trying to trade Chubb. Because the only way Chubb is taking over that role full-time, at least in the next 4 or 5 weeks, is if Hyde gets hurt. Which Hyde has a long history of, you know, health issues, so I have no problems. People just want to stash Chubb and hope that, you know, come playoff time, you know, that he is that he's the starter. And, you know, because they obviously do not want to give Duke Johnson any carries.
Right, which is frustrating.
And you know that if, for some reason, Carlos Hyde does go down, that Chubb is going to get 20 carries.
Oh,
every
yeah.
week. And we just saw what he could do with 2 carries. Cause that's, I mean, he had 1 carry for, I think, 0 yards, and the other 2 carries netted him 105 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So I think it was like a 60-something yarder to a 40-something yarder. So, you're obviously stashing him if you've got him. I assume he has been owned all season in most spots. I've got him. But I wouldn't mind trading him right now if someone thinks that this game is signaling, you know, the beginning of the end of Carlos Hyde and the beginning of Chubb. I don't think that's the case. I think Carlos Hyde's holding down this job until he gets hurt. You won't see much production from Chubb for like the next 3 or 4 weeks at least.
Yeah, I think you definitely have to handcuff Hyde with him if you can. So maybe if he doesn't show up this week, that being Chubb.
He's already missed that opportunity, though. I mean, Chubb's owned in every. I mean, Chubb's got. I mean, I don't know this for sure. So I'm actually going to look up Chubb's percentage right now. But yeah. I would assume that Chubb is owned in every league already. So, like, saying that you got to handcuff him, if you didn't handcuff him to start the year, then you're never. Wow, I'm completely wrong.
Yeah, because I was actually able to pick him up in a few waivers.
This is insane. His ESPN ownership percentage is 26.8%. Mm-hmm. That's up almost 10% from last week.
Yep.
How is this guy not owned?
I mean, people still believe in Duke Johnson, which I'm a believer in Duke Johnson, but I just don't. I don't see the role in this offense, so I'm completely out on him unless he gets traded or cut. So I think if you can, wait a couple weeks, like you said, for a guy that owns Chubb. If Chubb doesn't do anything for 2 weeks, then make a lowball offer to try and handcuff him. Because I do agree with you that when Hyde gets hurt, they're still going to run the ball. I mean, they have Hyde had 16 carries against the Saints, and that was at the Saints. He had 23 carries against the Jets and 22 against the Raiders. So just because Baker Mayfield came in the game, they're still running this ball. So definitely try and make a trade for Chubb once he starts to fall off of his, you know, completely high mountaintop this week. I'm a little nervous about rolling Hyde out there this week. I mean, low-end RB2, yes, and that's basically where you drafted him as, so there's not much of a risk. But if I have a guy with a better matchup, with not as much uncertainty behind him, with losing carries, I think I might fire him up instead.
I mean, I am trying to avoid firing up anybody but Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry, I don't care who he's playing. He's in my lineup every week. Wide receiver one. But, like, the Ravens defense is legit again this year. They're allowing the third fewest third fewest points to quarterbacks, the third fewest points to running backs in fantasy. They're getting Jimmy Smith back.
And that was without C.J. Mosley for two games.
Yes, and without Jimmy Smith for the first four. So,
yeah.
I mean, like, this is a defense that is going to be completely dominant. And they actually have an offense. Like, the Ravens, I think, are, and I don't think necessarily people have really talked about them as legit Super Bowl contenders. I think they are.
Yeah.
The way they're playing, you've got to say that they're legit.
Speaking of running back controversies, let's move over to Baltimore. I mean,
what the hell is going on here?
They love Allen.
They do. Collins gets 11 carries. Allen gets 10. I don't think that trend continues. I think that has a lot to do with the pace of that game versus the Steelers.
It wasn't just that game, though. It's been basically the whole season. I mean, it's frustrating because I know me and you were Kenneth Dixon guys, and whenever he went to IR, it's like they are splitting this right down the middle, and they don't care. Whenever they get close to the end zone, it's pretty much Buck Allen. I think they'll sprinkle in a little bit of Alex Collins, but I think that makes both of them viable RB2s every week.
I think it does.
Which is crazy. I mean, at least you're getting something.
This week, Allen, for me, is more of an RB4. Cleveland's actually been very, very good against receiving backs. They've yet to allow a receiving touchdown to a running back. So I think that's where Allen really becomes, you know, gets a lot of his value from is in the passing game. So I think this week I'm not playing Allen, but I agree with you that in most weeks we're looking at these guys both as flex plays or low-end RB2s.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're looking for in this offense. I mean, Joe Flacco has shown he's pretty much back, I would say. And he looks like he's probably definitely a QB2 most weeks. But his wide receivers, he just likes to spread it around to them and also to the running backs as well. So there's not one that you're ready to fire up every week. So I think it's just both the running backs for fantasy.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, what are you doing with his wide receivers, though? Like, these wide I thought that Michael Crabtree was the dude. I mean, obviously, I think John Brown. But I thought Crabtree was going to be seeing a lot more work. Snead outperformed him. Is that going to become a trend, or does Crabtree bounce back after last week?
I think you ride the wave of John Brown until either he gets hurt or they just start throwing to Michael Crabtree more or Snead more, because I think this wide receiver group is going to be basically this guy did good this week, this guy did good this week. Like, it's going to be a spread around. You're never going to know what you're going to get most weeks.
Yeah, okay, so I think that is probably the case rest of the way. This week, however, the Browns are going to match up Denzel Ward on Brown, and then they've got Demarius Randall over the top. I think the safety play in Cleveland has been fantastic, and I think that Brown getting deep is going to be difficult this year. I think this is a Crabtree week. He gets EJ Gaines, who's a much easier corner matchup. He doesn't need to go over the top in the same way that Brown does. I also think this is a nice week for Snead. But I think I would rank, if I'm ranking the three this week, I'm ranking them Crabtree, Brown, Snead.
Yeah, I think I agree with you.
Okay. You said you picked up Hayden Hurst.
I did. It's more of a desperation play because, like we said earlier, the tight end landscape is just so bad. But I think with Joe Flacco loving the tight end like Dennis Pitta, like he did most of his career, and just incorporating him in that offense, I think it's only going to, you know, do good things for this offense. So picking him up as a flyer isn't the worst thing to do, especially not in a Baltimore Ravens offense, but definitely don't start him if you have a better option.
All right. We have the Ravens at the Browns. Who you got?
I think I got the Browns.
Wait, you have the Browns winning?
Yeah, I think I do.
Wow. The Ravens are 3-point favorites. I have the Ravens winning and covering, but I think this is a closer game than some people will.
I think Cleveland will play in a lot more closer games like they've shown the first couple weeks, but yeah, I think this whole year it's going to be hard.
Yeah, going to stick in. Cleveland's not, I don't know, they're like, I think some people, I think like Mike Clay picked him to make the playoffs and stuff like that, but and a number of other people did as well. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to be one of those teams that you go, oh, they finished 6-10, but then you look at those 10 losses, and they've lost, like, by, you know, on average, like, 2 or 3 points each game. Like, they're going to keep a lot of these games close. I like Baker Mayfield a lot. He's definitely got to work on some decision-making, but, I mean, from a talent, pure talent standpoint, I think Mayfield is going to be a very good quarterback in this league.
As do I. And I think a lot of people coming into the season were like, okay, we're going to play the Browns this week. We're good. We can rest a couple people. We'll be right now. Not this year. Not this year.
Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions. I think we have to keep questioning Aaron Rodgers, don't we?
Yes, especially because all of his wide receivers are hurt this week so far. So Adams left the practice yesterday because of a calf issue. Cobb and Allison haven't practiced yet this week. So that leaves three rookies to be his wide receivers. And Jimmy Graham's had a rest day yesterday, too. So,
have you ever seen the Key and Peele sketch for the East-West Bowl?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you need to go watch that because so the premise for those who've never seen it, go on YouTube, look up, I believe it's East-West Bowl, and it is... You know, like at the beginning of the games, they do the player like saying their names and where they're from. So the whole premise is it's just them as different players with the most ridiculous fucking names you'll ever hear. And Equanimous Street Brown would like make that one, as well as Marquez Valdez Scantling. like these like are perfect names. And Aaron Rodgers actually did one here. He's like Aaron.
Aaron, yeah.
You definitely got to go check those out. I think they did like three or four of them over the course of a few years. So, but yeah, this whole situation is really scary right now. Is Rodgers a QB1 this week for you?
No, I don't think he is.
Wow.
Yep.
I disagree, but not strongly enough to make a bet on that.
Right. Like, I mean, would it surprise me because it's Aaron Rodgers, but
But I mean, how
I don't think
you?
I can make that bet, but it's scary. I mean, it really is. I think at the end of the week, I think that Adams will play. I think that one of Cobb and Allison will probably play as well. I just don't know which one. So that's not as bad. But for me, Aaron Jones, start him week. For
you
sure.
Should have started him last week.
But, oh, yeah.
Definitely, you start him. You start him this week as well. He looks like the best running back on
team. He is the best running back on that team. And we were saying it all preseason. Mm-hmm. So if you picked him up, stashed him, I know it was kind of hard, you know, whenever Philip Lindsay goes off the first couple weeks and you want to drop this guy because he's not doing anything. But if you held on, he's going to reward you the rest of the season.
Yes, he is going to be used quite a lot. I mean, Jamal Williams will still have a role, especially in short yardage. So, like, in deeper formats, you want to hold on to Williams, especially if Aaron Jones gets hurt, because he would definitely be the next guy up. But, like, we saw them both get 11 carries. Jones is obviously the better running back, and I think that will be the last time that they have the same amount of carries. I think little by little, Jones is just going to siphon off all the carries from Williams and Montgomery. I think Montgomery is still going to be using passing situations because he is explosive as a receiver. And I think he could be like James White light. But ultimately, Jones is the dude. If for some reason Adams, Cobb, and Allison are out, like, do you have a feeling on who you would rather play out of the rest of these guys?
Montgomery.
Well, I mean, a wide receiver.
He is a wide receiver.
But he's not eligible wide receiver.
I mean, I guess Scantling, because he's kind of been involved this year, but
yeah, see,
I wouldn't feel good about anything.
I think it's Brown for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a bet on that. That's ridiculous.
No, I'm not either. there's very few situations in which anybody – I mean, for what it is like if for some reason all three of those guys are out, which I doubt is going to be the case. One of them will play. I don't know which one, but one of them is going to play. I think these guys could be interesting GPP DFS plays because they're going to cost absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still playing with Aaron Rodgers.
Right. It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah. And this, you know, depending on what happens with the Lions, like, this could turn into a shootout. Speaking of the Lions, Kerryon Johnson, baby. It's time he continues to siphon off more work. They have not had a running back since Barry Sanders that was any good. And I'm looking at all you Javi Best truthers out there from back in the day. But he's an RB2, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, he should be closer to RB1, but the snap percentage just isn't there.
He'll get there.
You would think, but even last week, he didn't have that much snap percentage. He only had 37% of the snaps, which is ridiculous because of what he showed against New England and because his 9 attempts last week got him 55 yards. I mean, that's so explosive. They haven't seen that, like you said, and they're just not using him to his, you know, to his extent yet. So until Theo Riddick starts to get less playing time, he's only going to be an RB2, but you still need to roll him out there just in case.
All right. Wide receivers, do you want to apologize to Mike for betting Marvin Jones would outperform Golden Tate?
Yeah, I think my Marvin Jones bets are going to get me in a lot of trouble this year.
Yeah, I think you should probably stop making them.
Yeah, I think I will. What are you doing with Stafford this week? Are you firing him up for sure?
Yeah, QB1.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I would
start Stafford over Aaron Rodgers.
That's not bold. Stafford or, well, no, you don't like Dalton. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me think. Stafford or Ryan?
Ooh, that's a difficult one.
Ryan at Pittsburgh.
I think I'm starting Ryan.
Okay, and then Stafford or Mahomes? Versus Jacksonville.
I think you're starting Staff. No, Mahomes. Mahomes has just been too good.
Okay. All right.
And you know, Jacksonville's secondary has not looked as dominant as it did last year.
Yeah. I think for the Detroit offense, you're probably going to start Stafford, Johnson, Tate, and Galladay. I think that's the only guys that you can start with confidence right now.
Yep. Packers at the Lions. Who you got? Let's see. The spread is 1.5 in favor of Green Bay.
Mm.
Though that may have changed since the Adams injury.
I think I'll take Detroit. I think they win this game.
I do too. All right, let's go ahead and move on. Talk about the aforementioned Kansas City Mahomes hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Blake Bortles, is he a QB1?
I think without Fournette, he's pretty close. And I think Fournette owners are really upset so far this year.
Would you play Bortles or Dalton?
Bortles.
Would you play Bortles or Stafford?
Stafford.
Bortles or Ryan?
Ryan.
Okay.
Kansas City's defense isn't very good.
It's atrocious.
I think Bortles versus Dalton is a little bit easier for me just because they're both kind of the same guy in essence. But whenever you get into a Stafford and a Ryan where they're just so much better than Bortles, you just can't really – I'm not ready to make that leap yet. But without Fournette, he should be able to perform like he has and just kind of be the main guy in this offense because Yeldon can't do it. He can barely stay on the field, even with the opportunity whenever Fournette's out. And I really like their wide receivers. I think he has enough weapons to throw to where he's going to be viable most weeks.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Jacksonville can't go out and trade for a running back right now because they really need Fournette.
they need a bruiser. That offense needs a bruiser. I think if they call Detroit and they take Blunt off their hands, everyone would love that.
Yeah, I don't think they want to do that. But DeMarco Murray's still out there. Go lure him out of retirement or someone. I don't even know who you can go after at this point, but they got to do something because Fournette, he continues to miss time, and like you said, Yeldon, I don't think he's going to be able to stay on the field the way things are going. Is Yeldon an RB2 for you?
He has to be if he comes out of the practice schedule, healthy or appears to be healthy, just based off of volume alone.
Okay. Wide receivers, a bet that looks like you are going to win, at least so far, is we bet Keelan Cole versus D.D. Westbrook points all year long, and Westbrook has looked legit out of the slot. And for some reason, Keelan Cole only had two receptions for 15 yards last week and was outperformed virtually by everybody.
Yeah, I love D.D. Westbrook. I think you can start him most leagues, wide receiver 3 or flex, until something happens whenever Cole has a good game or something.
Even higher than that in PPR. I think he's a wide receiver 2 in PPR.
Okay.
He had 13 targets.
I can see that this week for sure. I think Cole and Westbrook are probably going to be, and unfortunately Moncrief too, but you don't start Moncrief.
No. Moncrief is a wide receiver 5 for me this week.
Yeah.
I know everybody's looking at that big last game, but it was largely on one play in which the Jets corner just decided not to cover him at all. it was a double move type thing, but it wasn't a good double move. And he just stood there as Moncrief kept running. And I could have made that pass. And
well, with Indianapolis, I think they probably would have saw him drop that ball, but supposedly here in Jacksonville, he's kind of good, so
no,
it's a little upsetting
not.
For the other two guys.
On the Kansas City side of the ball, who are you starting versus this Jacksonville defense?
You got to start Mahomes.
Yes.
Got to start Hunt.
Yes.
Got to start Kelsey.
Yes.
You got to start Hill.
Yes.
And I think that's it.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I'm at. This is one of those weeks for Kelsey where you have to start him in season long, but there's no way you can pay for him in DFS.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. But I was excited to see Hunt have a great game on Monday. And that was something that was missing the first 3 weeks is what's going on with Kareem Hunt. Is he going to be able to provide what he did in his rookie season, which is most likely a no, but you would think with this offense being open up as much as it has with Mahomes, that he should be even that more involved because he's not inept as a pass catcher. And if everyone's selling out to stop Mahomes, then that should open up more holes for him. So it was nice to see him have a great game on Monday, and I think you can expect more of the same moving forward.
I think this is going to be a tough week for him, though.
Oh, yeah, against Jacksonville, yeah, but I think moving forward, it was just nice to see that, okay, he's still there. He's still going to provide, close to first-round
value,
hopefully.
Yeah, I think people who were freaking out on Hunt were overreacting.
Yeah.
So, Kansas City Chiefs are hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who you got?
What's the line?
3.5 favorites, Kansas City.
Ooh, I think the Chiefs win, but I think Jags cover.
Yeah, I think the Jags win this one.
Okay.
Denver Broncos at the New York Jets. Another game of the week. who are you starting in Denver? For Denver, it's just Philip Lindsay. Are you starting Freeman after the nice week for him? The wide receivers, like I don't know that either wide receiver on this team is startable.
I think you're forgetting someone. So in one of my leagues, Demaryius Thomas was dropped, and I put in a claim for him immediately. But then I looked at it again, and I actually put someone else over him because
Cortland Sutton?
Well, no. That would have been a great segue, but I'm not good at segues, so I didn't really do that. But, you have to think Sutton. Well, Sutton is where I was going, but as far as my waiver claim, it wasn't for Sutton. But I think Sutton does have a role in this offense, and I think that it's going to be harder on Thomas to be viable most weeks. I think you still have to fire up Sanders just because of what we've seen so far. I know it's not pretty, but Keenum is still throwing it around everywhere. And I think
you have to start.
You're
wrong.
Really?
None of these wide receivers are viable right now.
Wow.
I mean, okay. Case Keenum is just that bad. And I mean, if he can only throw for 245 yards and an interception versus the Chief, like, what is he going to do against better defenses?
Like, huh.
I think that at best, Sanders is a wide receiver 3. I think Thomas is a wide receiver 4. I think Sutton is a wide receiver 5 or 6. Like none of these guys are viable week to week. This is going to be extremely frustrating. I think especially with the strength of the two running backs, they're going to lean on those guys and hope that Case Keenum doesn't kill them. I think Sanders is somewhat fantasy viable, but I think the other guys they should be on waiver wires.
I think Sanders you got to keep. I think you got to fire him up most weeks. He has 11 targets, 4 targets against Oakland, but he caught all 4 for 96 yards, and then he had 8 and 7 targets. So he's getting basically most of the targets here, but
He's running out of the slot and he's running these short routes. I mean, he caught 7 passes, 45 yards on 7 passes.
Yeah.
Versus the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's frustrating, but he of the 3, you have to think about
Chiefs at home. Let's not forget they played at home. This is I want nothing to do with any of these wide receivers.
I don't have any shares of any of them. Like I said, I put the waiver claim on Demaryius Thomas, but just because I saw him dropped and I'm like, "Wait a second, that can't be right." And then I looked more into it. I was like, "Okay, I don't think I'm going to claim on him," but it's just crazy to think, okay, he's not going to be owned this year. Like, he's not even worth starting this year, which is just crazy. I was saying he was going to regress. I wasn't drafting him anywhere, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad. Especially not with what we saw from Keenum last year.
Well, and what we saw from Denver's quarterback play last year. I mean, there was an argument made that the worst quarterback play in the entire NFL last year was with the Denver Broncos. And so you thought Keenum, while I didn't think he'd be good this year.
He's not the worst quarterback in the league. Yeah,
there's no way he could be worse than what we saw from Paxton Lynch and Brock Osweiler, and there's somebody I'm missing.
Simeon.
Yes, Trevor Siemian. Thank you. There's no way he could be worse. Somehow he is.
But that, like you said, that's helping out the running backs, and yes. I think this is a lot like the Baltimore situation. I think you have to fire both of them up. Mm-hmm. And especially last game that they played, Freeman was looking to be a bust for the first 4 weeks. I mean, he was a bust, let's be honest. And they kind of split the workload last week, and that helps out Freeman. I mean, it didn't take away too much from Lindsay. I'm looking at the snap percentage. So Lindsay played 40% last week. Devontae Booker played 33%, and then Freeman played 27%. That's strange to me, actually, now that I'm looking at that. I still think it's more like the Baltimore situation. I think you got to fire up Lindsay as RB2 and Freeman in your flex.
Booker played 33%, only had two touches. I think maybe he's just a better blocking back.
Okay, that might be it. So, yeah, because it looks like Freeman basically, he got a lot of touches out of his 16 snaps.
Yeah,
so
he had eight touches, eight carries in the game, no receptions or targets. Philip Lindsay had 14 touches. I think Lindsay is definitely the top, but I think this could be very similar to what we're seeing in Baltimore in terms of kind of a 1A, 1B type situation, and both will have value. I've got Royce Freeman as a running back 3 this week and Lindsay as a running back 2.
I agree.
All right, let's cover the other side, and that's the New York Jets. I think the only person that you can start on the New York Jets this week is Inunua.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can start. I mean, I guess Crowell and Powell are both flex options.
But in a deep league.
Yeah, I think. At what point do they just say Crowell's not that good of a runner?
Hopefully soon, because we've seen what Powell can do on a full workload. I mean, it was a couple of years ago, granted, but he would be more interesting if it was just him instead of him and Powell.
Yeah, and I mean, the Broncos aren't good against running backs, but they are better against the inside runners than they are against the guys who can, you know, kind of scat backs or guys who can catch the ball and move laterally. So I think Powell is the better play this week of the three. Or of the two, but I'm not stoked to start either of them.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Broncos at Jets, who you got? The line is the Jets minus 1.
Give me the Jets.
Yeah, I'm taking the Jets as well. Atlanta Falcons at the Pittsburgh Steelers. We go from what should be a really low-scoring game to what should be a super high-scoring game. What do you got in this one?
Fire everybody up. I mean, yep. Both sides. I know Freeman is probably going to play, but probably on a snap count. So still feel comfortable starting Tevin Coleman. You got to ride the wave of Calvin Ridley. Eventually it's going to come down, but I don't think this is the week.
Nope.
And on Pittsburgh, I mean, it's been at home. So, and Atlanta is a really bad defense. Mm-hmm. So both receivers, Vance McDonald, James Conner, I'm comfortable starting everybody in this game.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you, and I don't really think we need to go much further in that. I think anybody playing is worth starting in the majority of formats. So, Atlanta Falcons at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers are 3-point favorites in this game.
It sucks for Atlanta because they're scoring so much, and they've lost their past two games. I think they're going to lose three straight.
Yeah, no, their defense is just atrocious right now. They've lost too many guys. They can't cover anybody. I do want to say you're not starting Austin Hooper.
Oh yeah, don't start Austin Hooper.
That's, I mean, he's a borderline TE1 just because tight ends is so bad right now. But
yeah,
he's not a tight end one.
Everyone's fell into that trap, and as soon as he has a good game, you go back to the well, and then nothing happens the rest of the year.
There's just too many weapons now with Ridley in
Indiana.
So, all right, let's move on. Giants.
Who are you picking in that game?
Steelers.
Okay.
Steelers to cover.
Yeah.
They're at home. So, Giants at the Panthers. What you got?
Panthers coming off a bye.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Newton for sure. Christian McCaffrey. I was wondering why I was a little down last week because of the football Sunday, and I remembered Christian McCaffrey was on a bye. So, I love seeing Christian McCaffrey this week. He's going to tear up the Giants. And Funchess, I guess. Oh, Greg Olsen. He might actually play. Let me pull that up because I got an alert today.
Did he? Is he really? I mean, that'd be surprising.
Let's see. He's in shells and a helmet today. He was supposed to be out 4 to 5 weeks, and this would be week 4 if he comes back. So there's a possibility that he makes he shows up this week, which would be nice for a lot of people stashing him on
Ron
IR.
Rivera said he's not going to play this week.
Okay. Well, so if he's still out there, pick him up, stash him, and hopefully he'll play next week, which would be nice for this offense.
He should definitely be owned.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be stashed. Yeah. But, I mean, you're obviously starting Cam Newton, quarterback 1, every week. You're starting McCaffrey, running back one, and I think this is going to be a huge game for him. The Giants are awful versus opposing running backs, allowing the fifth most fantasy points per game to the position. They started prior to the bye, giving him more carries. Are you starting either or any receiver for Carolina? Because I don't think I am.
Funchess in a bind, probably wide receiver three. But if you have a better, you know, option, which you should, because Funchess fell so far in the draft season, and there's been some waiver wires as well. But if you have to, I'm starting Funchess, but I can't trust anybody else right now.
Yeah. Are you starting pretty much every Giant? I mean, you're starting Barkley, you're starting Beckham, you're starting Shepard, right?
Are you starting Shepard?
I am. I got him as a wide receiver two this week.
Really?
I mean, as long as the cyst, I mean, I haven't heard any news since I finished my Fantasy Alarm article yesterday on they removed a cyst from his back, but supposedly it was just like superficial.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's necessarily something that's going to keep him out. Yeah, I mean, without Ingram in that offense, Shepard becomes that second look. And he looked really good last week versus the Saints. I mean, it is the Saints, obviously, and Ken Crowley, who's really struggled. But I think all the attention goes at Odell Beckham and then stopping Barkley, and Shepard is going to be able to see a ton of targets. So, yeah, he's a wide receiver too for me.
Yeah, see, I'm worried about, you know, going up against Crowley last week, and it was a chalk play. I mean, sure. 10 catches, 77 yards, touchdown.
Everybody is in DFS.
Yeah, so are we worried about going back to the well and expecting more of the same? I am a little bit. Flex play, yeah, I think wide receiver two is a little bit too much for me.
Okay, I say he is a top 30 wide receiver this week.
PPR?
PPR.
All right, I'll take it.
All right.
So, but yeah, I agree. Barkley, Beckham, they're two no-brainers every week. And Eli in a QB2, or two quarterback league.
All right. Yeah, Eli's a QB2 for me as well. So, let's see. Panthers are 7-point favorites at
home. Ooh, wow.
That's a big line. I think,
yeah.
I think Panthers win, but I think the Giants cover.
I'm with you.
All right. Oakland Raiders at the Chargers. We saw an offensive explosion versus what has been a fairly good Cleveland Browns defense.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be a trend? Especially versus a Chargers defense that just allowed Bethard to throw
23
for almost 300
yards. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. One of the great things about the Raiders coming into this week, they are staying in Oakland, opposed to next week where they're in London. They're in Oakland most of the week, so they're going to kind of get their feet wet. They're going to see, you know, they're going to kind of plant their feet. I mean, in Oakland, and see, you know, what this offense is really about. And with Marshawn Lynch running the way he is, we just lost Donald Penn for the year, which is a little scary to me, but we're really high on our backup right tackle. And the offensive weapons have showed out the past couple weeks. I mean, Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson, Jared Cook, I mean, they're all getting involved. And Derek Carr has been really, really good besides his crazy mistakes that he does every game.
Yeah, it's the crazy mistakes that kill him, though. I mean,
it really is. But, I mean, he's spreading the ball around, which is what you want, especially if you're owner of one of the skill guys. And I think Jared Cook is a tight end one the rest of the season. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he had the first week, yes, which everyone was like, okay, you know, we'll see if this happens again. And now it has. I mean, with the tight end landscape, you have to fire him up. And he's definitely a tight end one the rest of the year. But Amari Cooper and Jordy Nelson, I mean, I think he's going to spread it around to both of them the rest of the year, and it's going to be an exciting offense to play. And that makes Derek Carr kind of viable as like a streaming piece. He's never been crazy good for fantasy, but as a streaming guy, I think you can.
Yeah, I think he's a quarterback too. I think you can stream him in certain situations. He just makes such poor decisions at times and can struggle with the accuracy. And I think a lot of it's going to come down to game plan. Like, there are going to be game plans where they just decide to pound the ball.
Well, they did both last game.
They're not going to be able to do both. Like that game just devolved. I don't think that's going to be, you know, I mean, Mari Cooper's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde of the NFL.
Oh yeah.
Like you have like good luck. I ranked him as a wide receiver 3, but I almost went wide receiver 3 question mark. Like like he could be wide receiver 1 or he could be
you're talking to a Raiders fan. Yeah. I mean, I know exactly what you're saying.
I think Nelson is a wide receiver 3 every week. I think Cook is a tight end 1 every week. I think Lynch is probably an RB2 every week. But Carr, I have a hard time in a one quarterback league thinking that there aren't going to be better options every week than Derek Carr.
But it's not crazy to own him as your backup, which, you know,
sure,
coming into
in
the season.
If you're in a league that you're going to keep a backup, then
bye week fill in, yeah.
But like, I mean, in a 12 team league or even a 14 team league, I don't roster 2 QBs.
Yeah.
So, all right. Oh, on the Chargers side of the ball, Philip Rivers, quarterback 1 this week for me. You're obviously firing up Melvin Gordon. You're obviously firing up Keenan Allen. I think you are firing up Mike Williams, even though last week was disappointing.
Very disappointing.
I mean, he gets Gary and Connolly, who's really struggled in coverage this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a bounce back week for Mike Williams. I actually think that Eckler is in PPR leagues is a flex consideration.
Yeah, close to RB2 for me, actually.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. Antonio Gates is just your traditional touchdown dependent tight end. Like if he scores a touchdown, you're going to be happy. If he doesn't, then you're going to be really disappointed you played him.
Yep.
So don't play him.
I mean, there's not very many better options, but
yeah, you know, I almost picked him up in that league we're talking about. So. All right, Raiders at the Chargers. Who you got?
Give me the Raiders. I think they win, and I think they cover.
Yeah,
because you know what? I've actually learned something. So I've been betting a little bit of football more recently, mm-hmm. And I've learned not to bet your own team.
Yeah, I learned that because about a decade ago.
Yeah, you have your bias, so I would have won a lot of money a couple
years
ago.
You know what you do is actually bet against your own team because then you're happy either way.
No, I can't do that. I'm too much of a homer for that. But, yeah, I've learned not to bet for my own team.
Yeah, the Chargers are going to win this by double digits. It's going to get ugly. all right, Vikings at the Eagles. What you got for me?
This is an interesting game. I'm very curious to see how this Minnesota offense looks against Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I know Philadelphia hasn't been great on defense, but
they've been great against the run. So
yeah,
like Dalvin Cook, like I ranked him as a low end RB2, but I actually don't think he is worth that right now.
I don't think you can rank him that high. There was a tweet that I saw today. I think it was Minnesota is running like, On their plays, I think like 26% of the time or something, like they're running the ball.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins is so effective on play action, which is crazy because they have no running game. Mm-hmm. But I still – okay, let's go back to our quarterback discussion. So Kirk Cousins or Matthew Stafford?
Cousins.
Cousins or Mahomes?
Cousins.
Cousins or Ryan or Ben? Rank those 3.
Ben, Cousins, Ryan.
Okay, so you have no doubts about Cousins being good this week.
No, because, one, they're not running the ball anyways. Two, the Eagles just are one of the best run defenses in the league. I mean, they're allowing the second fewest fantasy points to the position. You know, no one can seem to find room. This is going to turn into the only way the Vikings are going to be able to move the ball is through the air, and they've done a great job moving the ball through the air, so why wouldn't you just continue to do that? And that's where the Eagles can struggle on defense when they do struggle. So Cousins gonna throw 50 plus times in this game.
Yeah, and I think me and you were right in the preseason about Thielen. Think he's one of the guys in DFS where you're going to pay up for that production
every
because
week.
He's so involved in this offense. Mm-hmm. Diggs is going to have his up and down weeks, which we've seen so far, but Thielen is the guy in DFS that you just got to fire up every week.
By the way, I hate Aldrick Robinson.
Oh, me too.
I mean,
so much.
I don't know if you saw my tweet about it, but I wrote an article for Fantasy Alarm going into last week.
Every fantasy relevant player,
no joke. I think it was 16,000 words. And, and the first thing that happens in the week is Aldrick Robinson scores two fucking touchdowns. So, it's just unbelievable. I had some great calls in that week, in week four as well, and still fucking no Aldrick Robinson, like you even mentioned.
The thing I hate is whenever people post their DFS wins and it's Aldrick Robinson was put as their wide receiver two or flex. I'm like,
yeah, because
come on.
The only reason you put him in there is because you were playing that early week slate,
Thursday game. Yeah.
And you spent so much money in other places. You're like, well, I guess I just got to throw a random person in there. And
right. This guy coming in this week, his first week with the team. Come on now.
On the Eagles side of the ball, Carson Wentz. I think people don't realize how well he's actually played in spite of the numbers.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I think he's looked great.
He's looked fantastic.
Yeah, I have no problem firing him up this week.
Yeah, me too. Okay, I just wanted to make sure we are on the same page with that one, because I think, someone asked me, I was at a poker game last night, and someone asked me, they had Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback, and he's been hit or miss this year. They asked me if they should trade Dion Lewis for Carson Wentz. And
how is that even possible?
Well, I mean, some people look at the overall numbers. They haven't necessarily been eye popping yet. He's only played a few games because he started the year injured. So, I think Wentz is a QB1 rest of the way.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. But the running back situation is interesting now that there's another horse in that battle.
And that horse is going to disappear once Clement and Sproles are back. And I like Smendel Wendell. I can't even say his name. For those who don't follow me on Twitter, I haven't slept virtually in about 2 days. So I think I have 90 minutes of sleep in 2 days. So Colin told me he slept 11 hours last night, and I haven't slept 11 hours this week. So
Smallwood isn't on your head?
No. He's going back to the practice squad once Corey Clement and Darren Sproles are healthy.
That was my feeble attempt at a pun, but I guess you didn't catch that. It was more like a Matt Thompson pun.
Puns are awful. So,
if you drafted Jeffrey this year, you're feeling pretty good after last week, right?
Yep, and I did. I have him, I think, in, I want to say, 7 of my 8 leagues.
Wow. Okay.
If you drafted Nelson Agholor, you are not feeling good because
that's me.
I said in my article, it's the most perplexing line of the week award. He got 12 targets.
Yeah.
He caught 5 passes, 22 yards.
See, that's the big thing for me. 12 targets. And we saw the first week that Wentz was back, he had 5 targets, 4 for 24. So I was very worried after that. But 12 targets, that's got to – positive regression has got to come sooner or later for Nelson Agholor. Yeah. So if you have him, I don't know if I'm starting him. I started him last week. It's tough luck.
I put him as a boomer bust wide receiver 4 this week.
Yeah, flex option for me. So if you have a better option, for sure.
The Minnesota defense, especially their secondary, has looked atrocious this year. I mean,
it's really looked bad. Yeah,
it's been weird this year. I mean, we've seen some teams that have traditionally had great or elite defenses look really, really bad at times. Minnesota is definitely among that. I don't know what I really gotta dig into that kind of their defensive tape to see what's going on there, but. I think Agholor, I'm not starting him this week, but I think don't drop him or sell low on him right now. He's a guy that I think will turn it around. I think him and Wentz just are still working on that chemistry, and they obviously are trying to get him the ball. 12 targets, I mean, that's a huge target share.
For sure.
Obviously, you're starting Ertz. You're not starting Matthews or Goedert, so let's go ahead and move on.
Why is Matthews on this team? That's so frustrating. I mean, I know he's Wentz's best friend, but that takes away from Agholor, it takes away from Ertz, it takes away from Jeffrey.
Does it really, though? He only had 3 targets.
But he's still on the field. That's still three targets. I want three targets to the other guys.
Everybody got plenty of targets. It's not a big deal.
It's just frustrating. No, let me have my moment. He couldn't even make the Patriots wide receivers.
Well, the Patriots have a ton of wide receivers.
A ton of nobodies.
Oh, just stop it. Vikings at the Eagles. Who you got?
Vikings. I think the Vikings win.
I said the Vikings win as well. Which is going to be interesting because the Eagles aren't starting off real well. Yeah. Arizona Cardinals at the San Francisco 49ers. Another game of the week.
This is the Josh Rosen breakout game. Have you seen any of the tape from last week for his throws?
Yeah, I actually watch every minute of every game every week.
Some of those throws were like top tier NFL throws, and that's I was high on him in the preseason. He was probably one of the guys that I was waiting on as far as like rookie drafts. I was waiting on just getting my shares of Josh Rosen and not paying up for Baker or Josh Jackson or Lamar Jackson. But I was really impressed with what I saw last week. So I think this is the breakout game for him. You're not starting him in your seasonal leagues, but if you're punting quarterback for DFS, definitely, you know,
you're wrong.
Oh yeah, I'm saying it. It's a breakout game.
All right, where do you want to set the line? Josh Rosen is a top what quarterback this week?
15.
Oh, done. That is so easy. I probably would have given you 20.
All right, 20 it is. Nope. No, I won't retract. No, I'm that confident in him this week. I really think he's going to tear apart the 49ers. And that's not saying much, but I really think he will. So the one thing I'm looking at is Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald. They have not gotten involved. They had a touchdown pass to Chad Williams last week.
Who?
So, yeah, exactly. So I think it's a big David Johnson game. I'm wanting to see big games from Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, though.
I don't think you can start anybody but David Johnson on the Cardinals.
I don't think you can either, but don't drop them like
but
a lot
at least
of people.
At least David Johnson is now back to being a running back one because
yes.
I ranked him outside of that last week. But I mean, 22 carries. They finally figured out that if they want to compete, they got to give the ball to their best player.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah, crazy, huh?
It is.
So you can only start David Johnson, at least in my opinion, on the Cardinals. I don't know. I mean, I guess you can only start Breida on the Niners?
Kittle.
Oh, sorry, Kittle. Kittle, yes.
Yeah. I know you don't like Kittle, but you have to start him.
No, Kittle, yeah, Kittle's a tight end one.
Yeah.
Easily.
That connection is real.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Garcon kind of led the team in targets and receptions last week, like I think Mike said, and I was not on board with that. But I think I'm only comfortable starting Breida and Kittle. Goodwin is...
And I don't feel super confident about Breida, though like the only reason I'm willing to like start Breida is because the Cardinals are allowing the most fantasy points per game to running backs this year.
Yeah,
like the Cardinals defense, again, one of these defenses that went from pretty stout to just atrocious all of a sudden.
Yeah they've taken a big downturn past couple years, but I think if you own Goodwin you shouldn't, and that's upsetting.
I ranked him actually, is he even going to play this week? I don't think I ranked him because I don't think he's going to play.
Goodwin, let me see. What about the guy that everyone's talking about? Bourne.
Goodwin didn't practice. Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah.
I mean, if Goodwin's out, Bourne's an interesting like lottery ticket in DFS.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because the receiver they drafted, I'm blanking on his name. He's
Pettis.
Out. Yes, Pettis is out. So, I mean, Kendrick Bourne would likely be the number two if Goodwin doesn't play. You know,
and
he's
not up against Patrick Peterson, so.
Yeah, he's got a decent size. He's 6'1". I think, especially as a red zone target, he could be really interesting, but I don't think he'd be like a high volume guy, so he'd kind of be one of those guys that he needs a touchdown in order to be valuable, which isn't usually what I want to play with.
Right.
Like he's like Brandon Marshall-esque.
Or Aldrick Robinson.
I don't know, I mean, like I said, yeah, DFS, like, you spent all your money everywhere else. You're looking for a wide receiver to fill out your lineup, looking for a lottery ticket. Kendrick Bourne's an interesting guy if Goodwin's not playing. But if we don't know if Goodwin's going to play before those, you know, afternoon games start, then it's going to be kind of difficult to even try to take that gamble.
Yeah.
All right. Cardinals at the Niners.
Cardinals.
I think the Niners win this one.
Nope.
And I think the Niners are 4.5-point favorites. I think they cover.
Nah.
All right. Rams at the Seahawks. Let's start with the Seahawks here, because, I mean, I don't think there's much you can say about the Rams. You're starting everybody, right?
Oh, yeah. You have to.
I think
Jared Goff is a QB1 the rest of the season.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
I completely agree with you. Yeah. I think that I rank the receivers this week, Kupp, Cooks, Woods.
And it doesn't matter how you rank them, because they're all going to be
involved.
They're
all going to be viable, yeah. So let's just move straight over to the Seahawks. Chris Carson looks like he's going to play this week. The Rams are actually pretty good against the run, though, with Aaron Donald up the middle. So
yep.
I think even if Carson does play, or for some reason he doesn't play and Mike Davis plays, neither of them more than a flex play.
I think the only guy I'm starting on Seattle is Doug Baldwin.
What about Russell Wilson?
Nope. I did not misspeak there. So remember in draft season when everyone was saying, okay, is it Russell Wilson? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Are they the QB1? Like, who are you taking first? And now we're debating on not starting them. It's really crazy.
I'm not debating it.
Well, you debated Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
For the record. But I think...
this is going to be a... The Rams are going to score a ton of points.
Well, yeah, the
game,
Rams
right?
are going to score a ton of
so
points.
So Wilson's
going
to have to throw a ton.
I don't think he can keep up. I really don't.
But he's going to try.
He's going to try, yeah. And trying doesn't get you fantasy points.
Three touchdowns in trying is maybe a QB1 for him.
Against this defense, it's going to be hard. And I think there are a lot of better options
out
there.
I say Russell Wilson is a quarterback one this week. Or top 12 quarterback.
Yep, I'll take it.
I have a little bit of cushion because of that Rosen bet. I should have just asked you Josh Rosen versus Russell Wilson.
I don't see it this week. I really think this is
going to
be...
I'm going to say that. Russell
blowout.
Wilson will outperform Josh Rosen.
All right, you can say that. Anyways, I think this is going to be a blowout. I really do. I don't think there's going to be a back and forth. I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be a blowout.
But even in a blowout, you get garbage time. I mean, look at what Blake Bortles used to do with Jacksonville when they mm-hmm. would get blown out. Like, in that blowout will be the, you know, opportunity for him to throw just a ton.
I don't see them scoring very many points against this defense.
All right. I disagree. I think Baldwin is... a wide receiver 2. I think Lockett is a wide receiver 3. I'm keeping Wilson as a QB1, and that's it.
Yep, I'm only starting Baldwin.
All right. Rams versus Seahawks. Rams are on the road, but 7-point favorites in Seattle. Obviously, I think we're both taking the Rams to cover.
Yep.
Dallas Cowboys at the Houston Texans. You're starting Zeke. Starting anybody else for Dallas?
Nope, but I am excited that Zeke got into the passing game last week. That was something that people were not
expecting. 88 yards,
yeah.
Yeah. He'll need to do that, because otherwise this is going to be a potentially disappointing season for Zeke, because I don't think this Cowboys team is going to do a lot for him.
Yeah, no. This is it's going to be Zeke
all
year.
This is why I said I would not take Zeke in the top 5.
Yeah.
You know, I may be wrong because the addition of the receiving, but I am worried that there's going to be a lot of disappointing weeks where Zeke teams are just going to stack 11 guys in the box and dare Prescott to throw out open receivers.
It reminds me of Adrian Peterson in Minnesota. You know, without Brett Favre, without a quarterback, it's just the volume's there. You know he has...
Gurley, what, 3 seasons ago?
Yeah. I mean, you know he has the opportunity. He's going to get the touches no matter what. I mean, even if they're losing by 30, he's still going to get the ball. So, but, I mean, you got to, I mean, obviously you got to fire him up and you're feeling a little bit better.
If I have to see one more debate on Twitter about who the wide receiver to own in Dallas is, like I see it every week and it's like, there is no wide receiver to own. Like, and I like Michael Gallup as a wide receiver, but they just do not throw the ball enough.
No, there's nobody to own in this offense besides Zeke.
Yeah. Houston, there's plenty of guys to own. And I wish I'd been on last week because I touted Kuti in my Fantasy Alarm article for week four, told everybody to pick him up, told people that he was a startable asset in deeper formats, and then he goes out and catches 11 passes for 109 yards versus the Colts. That being said, you overpaid for him this week, and he's not a great start.
Right, and we had a lot of debates this morning on this Houston Texans offense in our staff chat. So, but I think for this game, you're starting Watson. If Fuller's active, you still have to start him. And then Nuke. What about Lamar Miller? Because I know we talked a little bit about that this morning in our staff chat and about Deontay Foreman.
Did he
possibly
practice today?
I don't think the practice reports are out for today yet. Let me check.
Because he was on a stationary bike yesterday. He did not practice.
No, yeah.
I mean, if he plays, if he's healthy going into the game, because that was the question, you know, he left, you know, the end of the game, couldn't even play in the final drive for Houston in the win over Indy last week. So I think if he plays, he's a borderline running back one this week.
Really?
Yes.
Do you want to know his stats so far this year? I mean, I'm sure you know.
I know
but...
him, yeah.
They're bad.
Yes, they are.
Okay, I will take that bet.
That if active, Lamar Miller is a top 16 running back.
Okay.
Okay. That's probably a really bad bet.
It probably is. I'll take that one. But I know me and you are both, you know, proponents of Deontay Foreman. So if he is out there and you have the bench spot, you have the IR spot, pick him up because you both think that he's going to take over this role. I know the Achilles injury is scary, but
there is a, you know, I mean, it's about 2/3 of players who get Achilles injuries come back from them. Mm-hmm. So you already have to wipe away 1/3 of the population that gets them. But I there is, you know, stuff out there that says that, you know, it's harder to come back as a running back. There are also isn't a large sample size from this. You know, typically running backs get ACL injuries, not Achilles injuries. I think you stash him. Evan Peterson and I kind of argued a bunch about it this morning.
Yep.
Because he says that he'd rather pick up Robert Turbin than pick up
Foreman.
I know the answer because I saw, you know, the note about all the suspended players come back. Do you know even where Robert Turbin's playing right now?
I would say Indy.
Yes. Okay.
So, yeah. No.
Most people would probably get that wrong.
Yeah, probably.
Like, and why would I want the fourth running back in Indianapolis?
Right. Exactly. And Hines has taken over whatever Turbin's role would have been.
Yeah. Like I'd be surprised if Turbin
sees the field.
Yeah, it was is on the roster in about a week or two once Mac's healthy.
That's true.
So yeah, I think that's an insane, you know, I wish we had Evan on the podcast right now so I can make a board bet with him. but yeah, no, I'm stashing Foreman. I like Miller this week. It's a nice matchup versus the Cowboys without Sean Lee really struggling against the run right now. We'll see how that plays out. Kuti, I think you pick him up if he's still out there because Hopkins gets banged up. Fuller has a long health track record or injury track record. If one of them gets hurt, Kuti becomes really interesting. I think what we saw last week isn't going to happen. We're not going to see the shootout we saw last week.
No, so, not against Dallas.
I think Kuti's not going to see, you know, double-digit targets, but still an interesting guy to stash.
Yeah, barring Fuller not playing, then, yeah, he's probably a stash for this week.
Yeah. Cowboys at the Texans. The Texans are favored in this game by 3.5.
Oh, yeah, Texans to cover.
Yeah, Texans are going to crush the Cowboys this week.
All right, and that's it, right? There's no other game?
Yep. Oh, wait, no, wait, one more.
Well, are you sure? There's only one team playing in that game.
The Redskins, who have a winning record going into Week 5, which isn't something I get to say super often, are playing the Saints. The last time they played the Saints, they beat the Saints.
So that's not going to happen again.
Yeah, it's not going to happen again. They've come off a bye week. They've had 2 weeks to prepare. Washington surprisingly has a fantastic defense going up against a fantastic offense in the Saints. Mm-hmm. So what do you got for me?
I want to know what you think about the running back situation in Washington.
In Washington?
Yep, for this week.
For this week. I think Adrian Peterson is a running back 3 and Chris Thompson is a running back 2.
I think I agree, but then I remember that Peterson used to play for New Orleans.
For like a second.
Uh-huh.
You think this is I don't buy into revenge game stuff. I don't.
Completely buy. You bought into it for Ryan Grant a couple weeks ago.
No, I didn't.
I think you were on the same page as me with whenever he went up against Washington. No, you thought he was going to come out.
Stupid. No.
Anyways, we'll rewind the tape for that. I
hate all those kind of narratives all the time. So I can promise you can rewind the tape all you want, but I'm one of those people like it. My brother-in-law is a guy who all the time is like, oh, well, you know, he used to play for this team. So, oh man, he's going to go off they're playing the Patriots. So they're going to bring their best. These are professional fucking athletes. If you don't think they're bringing their best every fucking week, then you're an asshole. Like, I mean, and don't get me wrong. There's the occasion where guys just don't care, you know, but like professional athletes don't play up for different competition. Like I just, these guys are, you know, getting paid millions of dollars to put it on the line every week. If you don't think Adrian Peterson was putting it on the line against the Cardinals or put it on the line against the Cardinals because he played for the Cardinals last year, you think that these guys care more about this stuff than they actually do. I mean, it's just, you know, no. Peterson is coming been dealing limited practice already this week with an ankle injury from 2 weeks ago. In spite of the fact the New Orleans has given up a ton of points this year, they're actually allowing the 8th fewest fantasy points to the running back position.
Mm-hmm.
Washington prefers to throw the ball anyways. I think Chris Thompson's going to get a ton of catches, and Adrian Peterson will get some work, but I don't think he's going to be super successful. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you about Chris Thompson. I think I have one share of Adrian Peterson, and I'm really contemplating just firing him up this week because I have like Deion Lewis as another option, and I don't.
Yeah, I mean, in that kind of scenario, then sure, why not? Like, it's not that big of a deal. You know, the guy I do want to fire up on Washington, mostly in a DFS sense, and that's if he's healthy, and playing, Paul Richardson.
Oh yeah,
He's going up against Ken Crawley. We've already mentioned him a couple times this week, and that is the guy who's given up a ton of fantasy points to Calvin Ridley and Sterling Shepard in back-to-back weeks. Like Paul Richardson will be in every DFS lineup I do for Monday.
Yep, as long as he's healthy, I love it.
Yes, yeah, for sure. So the only issue is Doxson's dealing with an injury that they wouldn't disclose what it was. I think there's a real chance Doxson doesn't play. So if for some reason Doxson is in your season-long lineup, I wouldn't even mess around with it and risk taking a zero on Monday. I would just put anybody in for him.
And Doxson shouldn't be in your season-long lineup.
It shouldn't be, but if for some reason you're in a deep league or something like that.
Yeah.
All right, Saints side, where are you at on Cameron Meredith?
Not interested yet.
Okay.
I'm still stashing, but still not interested. Huge bounce back game for Michael Thomas coming. Still fire up Alvin Kamara. And I'm keeping Mark Ingram on the bench.
This is hard. The Redskins have actually been very good against the run. The Redskins have been very good defensively. They've allowed the fewest fantasy points to fantasy quarterbacks this year.
Mm-hmm. Haven't played Drew Brees.
Yes, they have allowed the but they've played Aaron Rodgers and they've played Andrew Luck.
Okay, one of them's decent.
I don't know which one. And for some reason, I'm blanking on who the other team, my Redskins, beat in week. Oh, Arizona. So they played Sam Bradford.
Your argument's getting worse
and
worse.
Yes, that's why I forgot. No joke, I think I fell asleep during the game. And they're allowing, I think, the sixth fewest points to fantasy running backs, and the third
haven't played
fewest,
Alvin Kamara.
For the third fewest points per game to fantasy wide receivers. So
haven't played Michael Thomas, yeah,
and fourth fewest to the tight end.
Okay, you got me there.
Yeah, so I mean, like, this defense, legit, they've had 2 weeks to prepare. I don't think this is as high scoring as other people will. That being said, Kamara is a must start. Thomas is a must start. I actually think Meredith is a borderline wide receiver three, because the one place that the Redskins have been susceptible in the secondary is through the slot. And I'm actually going to say that Mark Ingram is a borderline RB2.
Wow.
And that is just pure speculation. Like,
yeah,
it's a huge crapshoot, and I
really
may
is.
Not start him in the leagues that I've got him either. I think the only place I may start him is in the Scott Fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a real chance that the Saints kind of revert back to what we saw of the kind of thunder and lightning. Kamara's had a lot of touches, and I don't think they want him to carry that kind of load.
Right.
You know,
I want to take that bet with Ingram, but like you said, I'm really skeptical about this game. I don't know how it's going to go.
It wouldn't surprise me if he had 5 touches. Like, it wouldn't. And it wouldn't surprise me if he got...
If he had 15.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, 17 touches.
Right.
You know, so... I have no idea what Sean Payton is going to do, and it may have everything to do with game script and all that. So,
do you take into account the record that Breeze is chasing? Do you think that's going to alter his game plan at all?
No, because it's only like 200 yards.
Okay.
Like, I mean, if it was 350 yards,
and it's Monday night,
I was like, then they're going to air it out. But it's 200 yards. They're at home. They're going to throw for 200 yards. It's just a matter of at what point in the game. Now, that they may decide, hey, we don't want to risk this coming up in the fourth quarter if the game's close.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they throw early.
Right.
And try to make sure he gets that record by halftime.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that could kind of come into effect. But I think they know he's going to get it this week. And good for him, dude. I mean, like... I don't know, you know, like, I don't know that there's a better dude in the NFL from a real life person perspective, and really a representation of what the NFL should be than Drew Brees.
Right.
You know,
except for the guy he's probably passing.
Yeah, and as I was about to say, it's, you know, as much as I love Peyton Manning, I think it's an amazing accomplishment for Drew Brees, and he's not close to done either.
And. Bonus, Washington gets to go down in the record books.
Yeah, it's always good to see that.
But I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be super high scoring. I think it'll probably be like 28-14.
Yeah,
but
I
think
27-24.
Saints, yeah, Saints will probably come away with this game easily.
I think the Saints come away with it, but I think the Redskins cover. The Saints are 7-point favorites.
It's a big line, but I think they will on Monday night.
Yeah. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Colin, what do you got going on, and where can we reach you on social media?
So I got this podcast going on every week, and then me and Mike the Rotocop, we're going to have a weekly baseball podcast coming out on FWFB, where we just kind of go over the season, take a look back, and also take a look forward to next season. So I think we record tomorrow for our first installment of that. So keep an eye out for that, and you can find me on Twitter at CWeatherWax13.
You reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Obviously, you can catch me on the football podcast, but also I'm doing baseball podcasts pretty close to every week right now on Friends of Fantasy Benefits, as well on the Sleeper on the Bus podcast. And I believe I'm going to be taking over the Fantasy Alarm baseball podcast at some point, or at least be involved with that. So I'm also doing the daily or the weekly preview at Fantasy Alarm, which is, you know, 10,000 plus words every week on virtually every player. I wrote 11,500 words this week on week five. So
was Aldrick Robinson in there?
He was.
Okay.
I wrote about Aldrick Robinson, but there'll be a new Aldrick Robinson.
Yes, there will.
Eddie Royal always will is. Fucking, you know,
Eddie Royal
come out of the grave somewhere and score three touchdowns or whatever. So there's always some asshole. Yeah, that's about it. Oh, you can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. I don't know if I said that or not. I'm exhausted. But that's going to do it for this episode for Colin and myself. Thanks for listening. Have a fantastic football season.